Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. Thank you for your word, Lord, from the worship to the word. Lord, we want to thank you for speaking to us during worship, God, and comforting our hearts, letting us know that you are Lord, that you are King, and you are the master of everything, that you already got it worked out. We just have to get in line with your plan, Lord, but you already worked it out. So we thank you from the worship to the word, Lord, you're speaking. Now we ask that you speak loud and clear through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, dying, dead, broken, and decaying world. It's falling apart and crumbling before our very eyes, Lord. Don't let us get caught up in the illusion that is trying to make us think that we need something else to be happy and to be whole and to be complete. God, we need you plus or minus nothing. Everything else is a benefit, but we have to be rooted in Christ. So speak to us this morning through your word. God, we need to hear from you. Bless your word. Bless your people to hear. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are on the series, The I Am Statements. So in John 5, let's do John 5. Let's start there where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Let's start there. John 9 and 5, sorry. John 9 and 5. So we put this into context. Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Somebody say amen. So Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. He illuminates. He's the brightness. Outside of Christ is just darkness. But then in Matthew 5 and 16, go there just for some context. In Matthew 5 and 16, how many of y'all ran track in here? Not many. How many of you looked at the track during high school? Okay. How many of y'all look at the track now? Just, I ain't getting on that thing. Go to 15, Matthew 5 and 15. Because Jesus, this is where he passes off the baton to us. Go to 14. There you go. Jerry's a track coach, so Jerry knows. He passed the baton to Jerry. He said, now, Jerry, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But then Christ left, crucified, resurrected. Then he ascended, spent 40 days and 40 nights with us, with the disciples before he ascended up and told them, now you're the light of the world. He passed the baton to you and I. So Christ in us illuminates light to a dark world. So now we're the light of the world. I know, so write this down. If you didn't last week, write it down. This is your resume, all right? JL always says, don't say this, but I'm gonna say it because I say it every week. I got notes on my notes. Should be writing notes. Don't want to miss when God is speaking. Your resume, on your resume, it says you are the light of the world. Some of us, we live like we don't know who we are. We're the light of the world. We go to work and it's dark and we're afraid to let our light shine, but you are, that's your resume. You are the light of the world. Christ has passed the baton to you and I. And the most important comparison is light and dark. Either you're light or you're darkness. There's no in between. There's no gray or light brown or dark brown. You're either light or dark. Amen. That's your choice. And if you say, Pastor, well, I'm not either one, then let me tell you, you are darkness by default. Because if you're not in Christ, then it's no other place to be but in the dark. I've also made a note. I got all these notes here, so excuse me. I'm going to be doing a lot of reading. But it says there are no chameleons in the kingdom of Christ. For those of you who don't know, it's a chameleon. He's like a lizard that changes colors. Whatever environment he's in, he changes. But in the kingdom of Christ, either you light or dark. You can't switch and be a chameleon in the kingdom. No, no. You have to make a decision. You have to make a choice, either to be light or dark. So I was trying to look, you know, like intelligent and stuff. So I did a little research on YouTube. So I looked at a chameleon. Took him 3 minutes. He changed 6 colors. It was pretty awesome. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. But anyway, he went from magenta, then he went to brown, dark green, light green, blue, gray, rust, and orange, all in 3 minutes. And you and I, we're trying to be chameleons. And so I wrote it down. The brown is when he was at home, the magenta is at work, and then the dark green is your job, and then the light green is when you're at the gym, and then the gray is when you're at the grocery store, the orange is when you're at the club. So you just change. No wonder why we going crazy. We're trying to be chameleons. God said, no, you. It's no chameleons in the kingdom. You got to be light or dark. It's no in between. We're going crazy because we're trying to be more than we're created to be. So here we go. Let's get into the word, right? Let's go to John 8:59, and then we'll jump right into the miracle that we talked about a little bit last week. And remember, in society, you got to be careful. The world is gone crazy. Somebody say amen. They trying to make it a skin problem, but it's not. It's a sin problem. It's the light and it's the dark. Don't get caught up in all that other stuff. Don't argue about that. Just ask folks, are you in the light or are you living in darkness? Simple. But look at 8:59. If you're there, say amen. So Jesus just declared to be God in 8:58. Jesus told them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He told them that I am God. Before Abraham was born, Jesus said, I was God and I existed. The penalty for that is, for blasphemy is claiming to be God, is death. That's why in 8:59, they took up stones to cast at him. They said, this dude then lost his mind. He just told us that he's God. The penalty for that is death. Stone him right now. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Remember, he was in the church, what we would call the church. It's the temple then, but it is what we would call the church. So he steps out of the church, going through the midst of them, because it wasn't his time to die. He wasn't supposed to die by stoning. He was to die on that cross and to save us from our sins. Somebody say amen. Amen. So it wasn't his time to die. And then we look at verse 9. This is all timing. Make a note, God's timing is perfect. It's impeccable. 9:1, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Bless you. So here is Christ. Here's a man who's blind from birth. And despite Jesus' issues and his struggles, they just tried to kill him. Hear what I'm saying. He remembered that he's the light of the world, even in the midst of people talking about him, issues, trying to kill him. He still has to do God's will. So just because you're having issues and struggles, you can't forget who you are. You still have to do God's will. You're the light of the world. So he comes out of the temple. They tried to kill him. He sees a blind man and says, I still got to do what God's called me to do. He wasn't caught up in his feelings. He wasn't feeling some type of way. He said, I got to do what God's called me to do. I got to heal this man right here on the spot because I'm the light of the world. So I'm not being insensitive to you and I's struggles, but we got to remember what our resume says. We're salt, we're light, and we're love, and we have to do God's will despite what's going on in our life. Despite our issues and struggles. So it's timing. Look at verse 2, and his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? We're always looking for somebody to blame. I'm going to tell you right now, youth, get off your parents. It's my parents' fault because they are always tripping. Knock it off. And all the parents said, amen. And they say, was it him or was it his parents? No, and the parents, no, we're just trying to do what we're called to do. To talk to our kids, to guide our kids the right way. And so don't look, watch, beware of those always looking for somebody to blame. That shows a lack of understanding of God's timing and God's purpose. Because Jesus tells them in verse 3, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made known, revealed in him. Jesus is saying, I have set you up since before you were born to reveal my work through you. Where we are right now is right where God wants us to be. See, you set up for a miracle is timing. He says he's been born. Right now, he's a man, so we're thinking timing. Let's just say in terms of our, when do you become a man, men? Jerry, we know that we're a male by birth, but a man by choice. Somebody say amen. That's a tricky question, isn't it? Because we know some men who still aren't men, despite number. Amen? Amen. And some ladies that aren't ladies because of, it's not just a number, because it's your maturity. It's your actions. But let's just say for purposes of this illustration, this guy is 21, right? 21, you're a man now. Hopefully you got a job, a place to stay, and all that kind of stuff. Because you can't be in your parents' house talking about, I'm 21, I'm a man now. Come on, Pastor. You can't tell me, Mom, I'm a man now, I'm 21. No, you get out the house. When you in your own place. Somebody say, man, when you in your own place. And then you can say, Mom, you know, you kind of just overdoing it. Could you go home? Mom, I'm a man now. In a nice way, amen? Amen. And then she say, oh, well, you kicking me out? Oh, well, you know, I got my own place. I'm paying I pay the rent here, Mama, okay? Or Dad or whoever it is, right? But if you're still living at home with them, you got to be quiet. Amen? Anyway, that ain't even the message. I'm just. So here's this guy. He's 21. Let's say he's 21. 21 years. We talked about this in the men's discipleship class. How long do you wait before you give up on God? He's been sitting blind 21 years, and then here comes Jesus. Jesus saw him. He didn't see Jesus, obviously, because he was. Anyway. But Jesus sees you and I. Jesus sees you and I, right? He hasn't, it looked like a hopeless, desperate situation, family. But Jesus saw him and had compassion and mercy. 21 years. What if he gave up the day before? Done. You know, when do you give up? When do you give up on your marriage? When do you give up on the dreams that God has put in your heart? When do you give up on your kids? Oh, my kids, they'll never be nothing. I've worked with them and talked to them, but they're just not going to make it. Amen. I know it hurts for the kids. I know. When do you, and I've shared this before, my biggest fear is like, did I give up right before God? Say, I was just giving, your breakthrough was coming. And you gave up. And I've never spoken about this, but I guess in church we should talk about everything, but as I was studying, God just put even the thought of suicide on my heart. If we can't talk about it in the church, where can we talk about it? That's not God telling you to take yourself out. You better know that. Because God said he'll never give you more than you could bear. The enemy will tell you to take yourself out. And I know Dee, just like myself, we worked in these group homes, psychiatric group homes. And the kids would tell me, Mr. Carter, those voices at night are telling me to kill myself. What do you tell a kid like that? Can you ask the voices to stop? That's not God. So when do you never give up on your life? Okay, think about it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got thrown into the fiery furnace. Before they go into the furnace, hey, man, we might as well kill ourselves now because we're going to be dead. But God comes in the furnace and delivered him. How about Daniel before he goes into the lion's den? Man, they're going to kill. The lion's going to eat me. I might as well kill myself. God delivers him. The lady with the issue of blood, 12 years. In the 11th year, she's like, look, this ain't getting no better. What am I still doing here? I might as well go and check out. And then in the 12th year, here comes Jesus. The man at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years. And then Jesus came and healed. When do you never give up. Might find yourself like Joseph. He's in jail. God gave him a dream. Now he's in jail for something he didn't even do. You know what? I'm out of here, man. I ain't going to waste away in jail. Then God delivers him out of the jail, and he becomes second in charge of Egypt and delivers all of his people. You never give up on God. You never give up on your dreams. You never give up on your kids. God's timing is not our timing. So here's the revelation. You don't measure your situation by years. Measure your situation by God's grace. Don't measure your situation by years. Measure your situation by God's grace. You and I have no idea how God is going to move in someone's life. God can show up at any time. And God's timing is always perfect. And then when you and I look back on our life, the audacity to give up on somebody, on our kids or our siblings. Amen. Nobody else has a sibling that's just okay. But me, I'm the only one with a sibling that's crazy, okay? And then you think about how God reached way down and grabbed you and I. Amen. And how can you give up on anybody? People always want to know whose fault it is that something happens in life. Sometimes, I say in fact all the time, it's so that God can get the glory in the life of the believer. If you're a believer, whatever you're going through right now, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, whatever you're going through right now, God never ends anything on a negative. He turns it around on a positive. Amen. It's not always because of someone's sins that life falls apart or they have a disability. Or they lose a job or have a miscarriage or a birth or a death. It's to point people in the direction of Christ. Yes. Amen. It's so people can be drawn into the light of God. Make a note, Jesus is the light of the world. L-O-T-W, the W silent, he's a lot. Amen. They always trying to argue who's the greatest, who's the goat. I don't care who's the goat. I want to know who's the light of the world. The lot is Jesus Christ. Make a note, write this down, it's providence. It means that it's God's plan that was set up before you were even born. Stop blaming your parents for where you are in life. Stop blaming your boss. Stop blaming your siblings. Stop blaming the police or who. Stop blaming anybody. The assignment is right now and it's right where you are. And the reality is that God is setting you and I up for a miracle just like this guy, despite the number of years we've been dealing with this issue or this situation. It's just setting us up. Verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Jesus is saying there's an urgency and we need to be about God's business right now. We need to stop complaining and allow God to get the glory out of our situation. There's an urgency. I don't know if anybody checked the, okay, just do me a favor. Look at the news tonight, okay? And let me know if it's an urgency to bring some light to the world. We just can't sit around and watch this thing fall apart. You can't be silent while your coworkers are falling apart. And you have the answer, which is the light, which is Christ. So you got to do it now, right where you are, despite what's going on in your life, you have to do it right now. Your assignment is right now, right where you are. Please write that down. We can't wait any longer. I got to wait till I get myself together before I tell somebody about Christ. That's not it. We have to tell them now because Christ is working in us and Christ is a light in us. We'll never get ourselves together. We talked about it yesterday in the men's meeting. The biggest lie that's been told to men is that when I get my life together, I'm coming to church. And you know what? You'll never get your life together because you can't do it without Christ. So men, stay at home. And now you know we're going to have issues with football season starting. As if that football game is going to help you get your life together. And then your team loses and you're depressed and you go off on your spouse and now it's even worse. It's just lies all the way around. Man, we'll never get ourselves together. We talked about it yesterday. John, what was the example you said? I know we talked about breaking our arm and saying when you go into the doctor, well, as soon as I get it together, I'm a go. Everything gets the benefit of the doubt except for church. I go to a restaurant and I don't like it. I don't go back to that restaurant, but I go to another restaurant. You go to a church and have a bad experience. I'm never going to church. I'm never going to church again. The restaurant gets the benefit of the doubt. Car dealership gets the benefit of the doubt. Your friends get the benefit of the doubt. Your nightclub gets the benefit of the doubt. But if something happened at church, oh, I ain't never going back to that. I ain't never going to church again. That's how you know it's spiritual. The last place the enemy wants is you to be in church. Getting a word like this, that despite of your struggles, you got to let your light shine. And you got to let others know about Christ. All right, let me finish this up. For today. Yeah. Hey, your visitors, I told them, like, I never finished the message. We just continue it next week. It's my pastor who I was under for years, Dr. Billy, says it's just like link sausages. You just, when you cut off that link and then it just links again. So messages are like link sausages, amen? I know it's kind of tough because we're hungry, right? Most of y'all are hungry. Hey, Pastor White, can you use another example? All right, I'm going to get y'all out of here. Don't worry. Look at verse 5. Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Somebody say amen. Here is healing this blind man who's been blind since birth, despite his struggles. And then he puts it to practice, right? So you just can't say it. If you're the light of the world, then there should be some evidence that Christ is in you. Now, don't get it mixed up saying that I have to work to be saved. No, you don't, because we could never work to be saved. It's a gift from God. It's the grace of God that we receive. But because we are saved, it should be some evidence that points to you saying that's a Christian. Now, actually, it should. Yes, nope, it is. Yes, it should be. It should be some evidence. It has to be. So look at this. So verse 6, when he thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spit or the saliva. He smeared it on the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. That word go in the Greek, it means to lead. Be a leader because you're sent by God. That's incredible. Write that. Somebody write that down. You got to be a leader because you've been sent by God. He told him he had to go. Jesus put the spit and everything together. He said, now you got to do something too. You can't just sit around and say you're a Christian. You got to do something about it. And this is kind of bizarre because, you know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Frankly, it's kind of unsanitary, amen? Some would even say nasty. You're going to spit and then wipe it on my eyes? Some sanctified spit. Kathy, you know that ain't going down if somebody spit on you on the job. You know you ain't going to say, that was sanctified spit. I received that in the name of Jesus. Kathy, you know you're not going to do it. It ain't happening. I received that in the name of Jesus. It's okay. I'm going to go and do my work. You're not going to do that, Sister Kathy. There ain't no sanctified saliva. It's an element of trust, being obedient even when you don't understand it. Let me say it again, family. It's an element of trust that we have to have in the light of the world. No one else has claimed to be the light of the world. It's a lot of good men that died and stayed dead. Only one said, I'm the light of the world, died and resurrected. No one's on Christ's level. No one's on Christ's level. That's why he's God. That's why he saved us. So it comes the element of trust where you might have to do something that doesn't make sense to you. Right? He said, go, man, you ain't going to put this, do what? Go wash. I'm going to go wash it off, all right. But not because of I'm trying to see, but because this is nasty. Jesus might ask you to do something that doesn't make sense, like humble yourself. Love your spouse. Humble yourself and listen to your kids. Respect your parents and keep your mouth shut. Pray for that coworker who you know hates you and tries to sabotage everything you do. Let me say that again, Brother Glenn. Pray for that coworker who you know hates you and tries to sabotage everything you do. It gets better. Pray for that family member that hurt you beyond belief. And then you have to go ask them to forgive you for holding a grudge against them. God, that don't make sense. It doesn't make sense to spit and smear. It doesn't. It doesn't make sense. But God's telling you, it's not going to always make sense. Here's a revelation to go with that. It doesn't make sense, but you have to humble yourself so your light can shine bright and God can receive the glory. Because other than that, it always stays about you. How do you let your light shine? By humbling yourself. Asking somebody for forgiveness that hurt you because you hate them. They might know it, they might not know it. Whatever they do with that, but you got to release them. So your light can shine bright. And God can get the glory. All right, I'm saying this and then I'm done. Verse 7. And we're going to pick it up next week. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Which was by interpretation sin. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And that word seeing in the Greek, it means he was physically able to see, and it also means discerning. He was also able to see that Jesus Christ was Lord and God. He just didn't physically come back saying, oh my gosh, this dude is actually God. He said he was physically able to see, and his spiritual eyes were open that he could see that Jesus Christ was God. But here's the revelation with that. He couldn't have got his healing without the obedience. If he didn't, Jesus told him exactly where to go. He didn't say, and see, make another note, God is a God of details. He said, go to the pool of Siloam. Obviously, there was a lot of pools. When I was in Israel, they had a bunch of pools all around. It wasn't the pool of Bethesda. I'm going to go over to Bethesda. It's closer. I'm going to just do it like this because it's more convenient. Your healing and your breakthrough comes through the obedience, which means that you and I, we have to purposely and intentionally talk to God each day. Every morning, you should have your quiet time and your prayer time. Not because I'm so holy and it's a ritual and I've got a routine and this is what I do every morning. I pray for 5 minutes and God, it's not robotic. It's because God, this world is falling apart. I got to go step into it. Give me some wisdom on how to navigate so I don't get caught up. And you need to check in with God every day. I was talking with a pastor friend of mine. He was saying he tries to do like Daniel 3 times a day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. But remember, this is not a ritual. This is not, you know, robotic. This is God. I need help. I have a wife. I have kids. I have a business. I have a job. I have brothers. I have a sister. I have my, God, I'm praying for them. I don't have time to be a robot. I can only do so much. You and I can only do so much. It comes to a point that we're carrying stuff that we shouldn't be carrying. Because the word said, cast all your cares upon God because he cares for you. And we walk around carrying stuff, burdened down, because we haven't cast it to God in prayer. And it's not a robotic. I'm just saying, family, you have to check in with God every day. And because he heard from God and he went, he was healed. Verse 8. How does it start? The neighbors. And that's what the neighbors, your neighbors, that's what we're going to pick it up next week. The neighbors. The neighbors. That's all I got to say. Just check out your neighbors today and then we'll finish the message next week. So if you would bow your heads just for a few minutes. And we'll just seal this word in prayer. God has challenged us, is challenging us despite whatever we walked in with. We got to walk out seeing and believing and discerning and knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we still have work to do to infect and affect a lost and dying and dark world. Regardless of what we walked in with. God is saying, it's no excuse not to work for me. Your resume says you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. So, Lord, we just want to just ask that you just seal the word in our heart and in our spirit. Let us walk out of here confident that regardless of what we're going through, that we can live, we can live a transformed life through Christ. As we walk in obedience, let us listen for your voice. Even when it doesn't make sense, we know it lines up with your word, so we know that it's you. For those we need to forgive, the sins we need to confess, in the name of Jesus, give us the strength to take the baton from you and run the race that you've called us to run. Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm not in the light because the light is not in me. Amen. Jesus said, if you call on the name, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The light is a free gift. It's Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in us when we ask Christ to come into our heart, to cleanse us from our sins. Maybe that's you. You're saying, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. You don't have to walk out of here not knowing. You can be confident that the light is in you. That's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I have more colors, been changing more colors than that chameleon. Trying to fit in. But God's called you and I to stand out. We're light, we're salt. We don't fit in. Salt doesn't fit in. Salt stands out. Light exposes. God called us to expose the darkness, not to participate in it. So you're saying, Pastor, I got to get my life back on track with Christ. You don't have to raise your hand for that. That's between you and God. That's a heart-to-heart discussion with you and God. You're saved, but you know that you haven't been walking in the light. The word says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to walk around with guilt and shame. That's not the way God works. God is in the cleansing and healing business and then sending us out. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we love you for another chance to get it right. Thank you for challenging us not to be business as usual, but to be lights in the midst of darkness. Give us an opportunity on the job tomorrow, at the gym this week, where someone asks, what do you think about all this that's going on? And we say one simple thing. It's time for us to get back connected to Christ and walk in the light, and that's it. It's time for the world to get back connected to Christ and walk in the light. We thank you, Lord, for that opportunity, because it's going to come, because the world is searching for answers. We're to let our light shine so people may see the good works in us and glorify God in heaven. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord.